This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, August 22, 2011. I'm Caleb Brown. Should we see the collapse of Libya's regime as a victory for U.S. foreign policy, or does it pose a dangerous precedent for future interventions? Chris Preble, Vice President for Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute, offers his thoughts. Now that rebels have reached Tripoli and as of this recording, we don't actually know where Muammar Gaddafi is. I feel like the argument from Washington for what President Obama contributed to this effort, so to speak, will be hailed as a success, and that we did it on the cheap, that we didn't really give anything up, and that this may lay the groundwork for this kind of intervention in the future.
That is going to be the argument. It is the argument that's being made already by those who are calling for intervention sooner than we did. First of all, if people were to write the history of the Iraq War immediately after Saddam Hussein's statue was torn down in Firdaus Square, we'd have a very different history of the Iraq War than what most people understand. Does that mean that Libya is likely to descend into horrific, violent chaos like Iraq? No. Every country is different. But the reason why you write a history of war after the war is over, not while the war is still going on, is because the hard work of nation building, nation kind of regime change is the nation building part. And as you know, I mean, we've written Justin Logan and I and Ben Friedman and I have written quite a bit on post-conflict reconstruction and the role that the United States should play, the role the U.S. military should play in that process. And I think for all the reasons that libertarians are traditionally quite skeptical of the government's ability to fashion a society here in the United States, we are even more skeptical of its ability to do so in place in distant lands that we don't speak the language, we don't understand the culture, and we don't have the authority, frankly, to do all those things. So the debate is hardly over. I also think in terms of, you know, on the cheap, we have to remember that when the president made the case for this intervention belatedly, he said that it would be a matter of days, not weeks, as I recall. It obviously dragged on much longer than that. Now, you have some people saying that it could have been finished much faster if the United States had applied more force, more pressure, and I think I think the argument that more bombs, more plane sorties, and perhaps even more boots on the ground, would have made a huge difference. The burden of proof is on those making those claims, because the fact is that we don't have any reason to believe that a large number of U.S. troops on the ground would have had that effect. And more to the point, we're already pretty busy as it is in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the last thing that anyone wanted to do, I think, was to open up a full-scale third theater while those two wars are still going on.
Now, the president, you argued, effectively helped lay to rest the successful Weinberger-Powell Doctrine, which if there is no other casualty here, that and certainly the Constitution are casualties in this conflict.
That's right. Those are the two points that I've stressed all along. I don't believe, and I still don't believe, that the Libyan case will be anything like what has gone on in Iraq or is developing in Afghanistan. The country is too small. The stakes are too small relative to everything. And so I just don't think it's likely that Libya itself will cause great harm to U.S. national security. I do worry about the precedent set. If you completely discard the notion of criteria for when to intervene, some very basic criteria. These are not particularly stringent. These are not particularly, creative, right? Is there a national interest at stake? Is there public support for the mission? Is there a clear military objective? And is there an exit strategy? It's that simple. By failing to answer any of those questions ahead of time, the president implies that essentially that there are no criteria at all, or at a minimum, he needs to spell out what differentiates this case from others. He has not done that. The advocates of this intervention have not done that, which implies that they don't wish there to be any criteria at all. They wish the United States to be able to intervene whenever, wherever, for no particular reason, just because we can. Then there's the question of the Constitution. Again, whether Muammar Gaddafi fell in 5 days or 5 months, or whether he holds on for 4 or 5 more months, unlikely, but even if he did, does not change the argument that the president cannot wage war at will. He should not be able to wage war at will. The fact that presidents going back at least to Harry Truman have done so does not invalidate the Constitution. And I think it's encouraging that the same members of Congress, especially from the Tea Party caucus broadly defined, who take the Constitution very seriously, were willing to oppose not just the President of the United States, but also leaders within their own caucus, within the Republican caucus, to affirm a constitutional principle. And I expect that if nothing else, that exercise will be repeated in the future and serve as a reminder to both the president and others who would argue for intervention without congressional oversight to think twice about those interventions.
Chris Preble is Vice President for Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. You can read more of his work at cato.org.